blessings to you. This morning, I'd like to speak to you about the Holy Spirit. The title of the message is Receiving the Holy Spirit. But just starting, I want to just introduce this phrase and thought that's scripture here. But have you ever had an advantage over somebody? Something. Have you ever had an advantage? Oftentimes, advantages will come in skill. You might have an advantage in skill. You might have an advantage in strength. You might have an advantage in decision making or investing or something, but an advantage, you know what it is. Advantage, you might even have an advantage in height. I'm usually not that guy, but hence I didn't go for basketball or anything like that. Is, you know, I understand if you don't understand what I mean by that, but advantage. In John chapter 16, verses 7, it says this. Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." It's to your advantage. See, the Holy Spirit is your advantage. It was then when Jesus promised him that he was going to come, and it is for today. So the question that I just answered is this. Is that pouring out of the Spirit, is that filling of the Spirit that happened in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, is that which happened then, is that still for us today? It is, isn't it? That advantage is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out then and is still being poured out now over and over again. See, God had no other plan. God has no other agenda for you to receive the advantage than by His Holy Spirit. There is no other appropriation for you to receive an empowering. There is no other appropriation other than by the Holy Spirit and you receiving that advantage. It's interesting, that word advantage, it's the word sumphero in Greek. And it means to bring along with. It means to engage with. It means to overcome with, to participate with. It's like where we get the word symphony from, sumphero. It's a coming together. Our advantage is when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. We received Him at salvation, and the objective is that we continue to receive Him over and over and over again. So how do we receive Him? How do we receive this plan of God for Him to be our advantage? Look with me in Acts chapter 1 here for just a brief here. How we receive it is this. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. Jesus, gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, "You have heard of Me." 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from here. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from here. To receive this advantage, to receive the Holy Spirit, it's to learn to receive and to yield to this commandment of Jesus to wait. To wait. That's the first thing, is to wait on Him. Wait on Him. What do I mean by wait? The Greek word perimeno is the word there, to wait. And it's not just wait as in go through time. There's a waiting where you're waiting for the Cox guy to come and fix your cable. There's a waiting when you're anticipating dinner, right? Or there's a waiting when you're waiting for the water to get warm in the shower. You're just waiting. You're doing something that's not much until it comes, until it happens. But this waiting is a bit different. This waiting is not just time sensitive. This waiting has to do with being engaged in the moment. This perimeno means to wait with some engagement. It's to wait with intentionality. It's to be part of the moment. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Don't just go and twiddle your thumbs. See, when we come to church, it's not just singing some songs. We're looking to engage the Holy Spirit. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? We engage Him. We wait on Him. We're looking for Him to come. We engage Him in our spirit. We're looking for His presence. But it's not just waiting for the clock to change. It's not just moving through seconds, you see, but it's engaging in the moment while we have the time. Does that make sense to you? It's imperative that we engage Him while we're waiting on Him for the promise to come, for the promise to come. What else can we draw from and learn how to receive the Holy Spirit as we look at this in the book of Acts and here in the beginning? Understanding the purpose helps us to be able to receive what the Spirit's doing. Help us to receive the plan of God, to receive this advantage. Understand the purpose. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit being poured out? What is the purpose of Jesus telling them to wait on the promise of the Spirit? The purpose of that is power. Power ministry. Power to be able to minister to. Power to give away what has been imparted. See, these disciples, they had likely received salvation ahead of Pentecost. They likely encountered God over and over again, right? Jesus spoke to Peter, and when Peter had a revelation of the keys, he said, of the Son of God, he said, "You know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus, your flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But the Spirit revealed that to you. The Father revealed that to you. At that point, Peter had some form of regeneration to be able to encounter God like that. In John chapter 20, verse 22, straight up, Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. If not before that point, for sure at that point, those men, those disciples received salvation. They received Christ and a belief in the resurrection right there, for sure. But He's telling them to wait. So what took place is they encountered this transition. They encountered the age of the Holy Spirit, this transitional age from an old covenant to a new covenant that was associated with and came with power and power ministry and power to be effective witnesses. Look with me in verse 8 of the same chapter 1 here in Acts. It says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." See, when the advantage comes, power is present. Power for what, though? Why do we need power? Why should we have power? Why can't we just, you know, be Christian and just, you know, do our thing? Why must we have the Holy Spirit? You must have the Holy Spirit. You must encounter the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. Interesting. I had a conversation with a young man who is attending Moody Bible School he's in Chicago, and he's studying pastoral ministry. His plan was and is to be a chaplain in the Navy. And so he's going to school to learn about ministry, and that's his objective. And we were talking, and he asks this question, not directly to me, but it came to me. He asked this question: why do we need to experience the Holy Spirit again if we've already encountered Him at salvation? Why must we? And in my response, interesting, I said, well, you know, there's a quote by an individual who was in love with God, ministering in power of the Spirit. His name was D.L. Moody. And he says this: "We need the Holy Spirit again and again and again because we leak. We leak. we leak. We must encounter Him, just like in relationship. We need the power of the Spirit. We need the advantage of the Spirit so we can grow in a connection and intimacy with the Father. In relationship, building a reality with God, knowing who He is, knowing to connect with Him, knowing how to relate to Him. Not just attend things, but to be able to engage Him when He comes. We need the Holy Spirit to know the Father. We need the Holy Spirit to grow and develop an intimacy. A husband was asked by his wife, "Do you love me?" And his response was, "Of course I love you. Don't I go to work? Don't I bring a paycheck home? Don't I mow the lawn and make sure you have nice things and all of that?" "Well, yeah, but you didn't answer my question. Do you love me? I need time. I need connection." We need the same connection, relationship with. It requires us to connect with. The Holy Spirit is what allows us to make connection with the Father. In Romans chapter 8, it says we're no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves, but we've been adopted by the Spirit. And our hearts can now cry out, "Abba, Father." There's relationship because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's relationship. So why power? It's power for intimacy, power for relationship, power to live an empowered life as a Christian, to be able to walk through obstacles. Did you know one of the hallmarks of Christianity is to be able to deal with, walk through, and embrace adversity? You know, when adversity comes, it's so easy to get under stuff, isn't it? It's so easy not to be able to keep your thoughts captive. So easy, especially when there's a load, a major load coming upon us. Stuff, issues, fear, subjectivity of all sorts and all kinds. But see, it's the advantage of the Holy Spirit for us to be able to overcome those obstacles. It's the advantage of the Holy Spirit. When obstacles come, we step outside of self and we step outside of selfishness and fear of all sorts that begin to get all involved in ourselves and thinking, "Oh no, I'm not going to make it. Oh no, there's a lot of trouble. Oh no, I'm anxious." Those are legitimate things, are they not? They happen to all of us for a variety of reasons. But the advantage of the Holy Spirit allows us to identify with Christ in His resurrection power and say, "No, I'm not going to yield to that. But I'm going to walk in the power of the Spirit, and I'm going to allow God to be able to turn those difficulties into something significant in my life, build my character, and allow me to walk further in intimacy and as an empowered Christian, manifesting the Holy Spirit." But how do we receive that? What must we do to receive the Holy Spirit and to receive the advantage? It's to wait. Wait on Him. Engage Him when we have the opportunities. Engage Him when times come and we have those moments, those events that are significant, that you know you're in trouble, you got to engage. Those times where we come here and it's announced, it's clear that the Holy Spirit's moving through us in worship. What do we do then? "Oh, this is really good music. Yeah. Oh, that guitar player, boy, he's the way he wiggles like that, that's just amazing." Although some of you don't know this, it's kind of a language that we have. See, when that wiggle happens, you know what that is, right? I'm being a bit playful. Liberty begins to come in the room. When the Holy Spirit comes, we find our liberty. We can move about. We can engage God. But you've got to do more than this. We've got to do more than this and just be part. It's, "Yes, Lord. I'm going to yield myself to Your commandment. I'm going to wait on You in this moment right here. I'm not just going to wait passively. I'm going to engage You intentionally." Do you understand what I'm saying? Engaging Him intentionally when the opportunities arise. looking to make connection with Him, looking to receive Him with brief phrases of, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Forget about my situation. I'm in love with you. I want your glory. I want to receive you in this moment. I don't want to miss you in this moment. I want to engage you, encounter you, especially when I think you're here. But even when you're not, and I'm at home and I'm in some difficult situation and I can't see you, I can't sense you, I don't know where you're at, you know what you do? You engage Him anyways, right? Right in the middle of all of that. The power of the Holy Spirit is to be able to grow in intimacy. The power and the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit is to be able to walk as an effective witness and Christian, to be able to overcome. The power of the Holy Spirit is to have an effective witness, He says in Acts 1:8. I'm going to make you witnesses here, near, and far. I'm going to make you witnesses here, near, and far. Your witness is going to be effective. I love when you read through like chapter 8 of Acts, these guys in Samaria, they're referred to as some disciples. And as they came along, Peter and John came along and found some disciples in Samaria and asked them, hey, have you received the Holy Spirit? And these guys said, no, we didn't even hear of anything about the Holy Spirit. Never even heard of such. And then they laid their hands on Him. They received the Holy Spirit, and power began to manifest. That was something significant. The Holy Spirit is something to receive. It's something to impart. But you engage Him when He comes. These men manifested an effective witness. These men manifested effective witness. But how do we receive the Holy Spirit? It must be intentional. It must be a Perry Mano thing. You engage. You engage as you wait for Him. You engage. But the question still is this filling of the Holy Spirit, is it for us today? Is this filling that happened to these men in the book of Acts, is it for you and I today? Are we about it today? Is God inviting us to encounter the Spirit today, in our life today? Or was it just for them? Come on. Is it for us now? You got to resolve that. Is it for you this morning? Is it for you right here and right now? The Holy Spirit, is it for us today? Yes, it is. An emphatic, yes, it is. How do we get a hold of this? How do we engage God when we're in trouble? How do we engage God in any time? You do just that. You engage Him. Take a look at this. How did these men engage Him? How did they experience the Holy Spirit? In chapter 2, starting at verse 1, it says this. When Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered. Bewildered. What's it like to be bewildered? Is your Christianity having any bewilderment? Because each of them was hearing them speak in his own language. Then it says, they were amazed and astonishment. Do you think we could use some amazement and some astonishment? We do. We could use that. Absolutely. They were hearing their language in a variety. Moving on to verse 12. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? And others were mocking and such. But then Peter gets up and begins to articulate what's happening here. The Holy Spirit's come. Just like He said, I must go. so the Spirit can come, so the advantage can come. So how do we receive? We've got a model to consider. We've got a model to look at. Why can't we engage in the same model? They were together in one place, in one spirit, and in one purpose, and then suddenly something broke in. And when this something broke in, this Holy Spirit advantage came among them, and then immediately they begin to speak with other tongues. Immediately the gifts of the Spirit begin to manifest through them in an incredible way, in an amazing kind of way, begin to blow them away. What the heck is going on? Is there anything in your Christianity that is offending your mind? Is there anything in your Christianity that amazes you? That is, you, wow, that's incredible. If your answer is no to that, we got some work to do. Would you agree? We've got some work to do. Christianity was never meant to be boring. Christianity was never meant to be this traditional experience that we just go through the motions, right? Our Christianity is something that ought to be amazing. It ought to be bewildering. It ought to be eventful and purposeful in seeing the Spirit of God connect and relate and heal and save and call us to action in life. Is that something that interests you? Is that something that you're desirous? See, it's the advantage of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent. It's the advantage of the Holy Spirit that we need, we must have, and we must learn how to receive of the Holy Spirit. We must learn how to encounter the Holy Spirit. We must receive. So as we do, what can we expect? What can we expect to take place in our lives? When the advantage comes, when we avail ourselves, when we yield to His command, when we understand the purpose, what can we expect to take place in our lives? We can expect that we will become powerful and effective witnesses, like it says in Acts 1:8. The words that we communicate have weight to them. The language we use has weight to it. The Spirit's presence on us. When we're sharing, we're intentional about sharing the gospel. We're intentional about ministering to folks because we've become effective witnesses. We've become carriers and bringers of the Spirit of God. Power and influence over sin. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. When the Holy Spirit advantage comes upon us by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, we have power over sin. We don't have to submit to the appetites. When your soul begins to salivate for something that you know you ought not to do, but there's triggers that we've been pulling and experiencing for time and time, the Holy Spirit gives us power to say no to that stuff and engage in God, to engage in His presence, to engage in the identity of Christ, where sin has no power over us. The third thing is we have power over the enemy and the enemy's attack. In 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of forces. We have power to engage. We have power to deal with strongholds that affect us and keep us from encountering the Holy Spirit and keep us from finding the way on. Number four is we'll have continual fillings of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:8 tells us, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually being filled over and over again, meaning you continue to engage the Spirit. You can expect Him to come in your life more than just one time at salvation, more than just one encounter. You might have had and you might have experienced Christ at salvation, had this profound encounter. Maybe it was sometime after that. Maybe it's been multiple times. But the objective is that we would continue to engage the Spirit over and over again. Be cultivating an appetite looking to receive the Holy Spirit again and again and again. continual fillings of the Holy Spirit. Martin, you can come on up. So in this final thoughts here is, how do we prepare? How must we prepare ourselves to receive of the Holy Spirit? It's simply this. Simply this. You engage. Learn to yield to the command of Jesus. Yield to the command of Jesus. He says, wait. We perimeno. We engage the Holy Spirit. We wait on Him. Wait on His presence to come. Engaging the Spirit. Not being distracted. Not looking at anything else. Not engaging anything else, but engaging the Spirit. Jesus says, wait. Wait for the promise of the Spirit. Engage Him. You get opportunity. You engage Him. This morning, we're going to worship in just a minute. You engage Him. Yield. Learning to yield to the Spirit. The second thing is, repent of any self-focus, anything that would hinder the presence of the Spirit. If you've got sin in your life, you repent daily, regularly. You might not even be aware. Holy Spirit is sensitive. You repent. Yield, repent. You learn to resolve. Resolve the fact, when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's not something that we do intellectually. Not looking around in this room here. We're not looking around. We're engaging. We're receiving the Spirit in the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are, receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. The natural mind can't comprehend. We must learn to differentiate between our soul and our spirit. We resolve that when I come before you, Lord, I'm not going to be all up in my thoughts trying to encounter you, quoting scripture. I'm just going to engage with my spirit. And the fourth and the final thing is this. You dial down. You relax. You relax. Just begin to cultivate peace. Lord, I want to encounter you. I want to find you. I don't want to be all busy up in my mind. I don't want to be all busy thinking about this or thinking about that. But I want to learn to engage you. I'm going to dial down. I'm going to cultivate peace. And I'm going to expect your presence to come. Can I have you all stand? We're going to worship here, but I want to ask you, before we do, I want to ask you if you'd be willing to respond to one of three questions. Would you like to have a filling of the Holy Spirit today? Would you like to receive a filling of the Holy Spirit today? Second question, are you willing to repent of any hindrances that might cause the Holy Spirit to be hindered by your activity? And the third thing is this, would you be willing to commit to continually engaging the Holy Spirit over and over again? If you can answer yes to any or one of those questions, I'd like to ask you to respond by coming forward. And we're going to have a time of worship here.